Pay attention, Brother Joe's going to come preach to us.
What were you going to say, Sean? Oh. Said he wants to come up here. Let's see. Go to the book of James, please. Does anybody know where Mrs. Janice Eddington, Sister Janice, is? She had to get home? Okay. Thank you. Whew. All right. Sorry about that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy to us, Lord. Lord, I pray that you please look after our preacher, Lord. He isn't already there, Lord. Please continue to put a hedge of protection about him and keep him safe, Lord, as he's there, Lord. And the time that he's going to be having with his brother, Lord. And I pray that you please put your hand upon his brother and you'd help him during this time, Lord. Dear God, I pray that you'd comfort hearts, Lord. Father, I pray that you'd look after those who are going through trials. I thank you for thank you for allowing me this opportunity. And these are your people, Father. These are your children. Please help. Please fill me with thy spirit, O Lord. Meet with us in a real and special way. And dear God, I pray that you please help. Lord. And many that aren't here now, Father, I pray that you be and help them. Lord, as we open your word and go into it now, I pray that you please, dear God, do a work. Do a work that you might be glorified through it. In Jesus Christ's precious holy name we pray, amen. Here in James chapter 5, we're going to start in verse 7. It says, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord." All right, that's us. Because he hasn't come yet. There were those that had taught that the resurrection had already come. And they were those that said, oh, you know, things have always continued. You know, they've just been continuing. But here in verse 7, we're told, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. Take my brethren the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job, and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save his soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now, I really, you know, I had heard preacher had gotten strep throat, and it was kind of running through the family. And then on top of that, his brother was facing a surgery and then had a heart attack. And Brother Block had called me up and asked me if I'd preach Sunday evening. And I don't turn down an opportunity to preach. I don't, you know, pray for preacher's health to fail. I don't pray that any bad to befall preacher, because I love him. But I don't pass up an opportunity to preach. I just had prayed that and just decided that many years ago with the Lord that I wouldn't do that. If he'd give me an opportunity, I'd take it. And then I thought immediately what I wanted to preach on when he had told me. And then I started thinking again and said, okay, Lord, well, you know, what do you really want me to preach? What do you really want me to talk about? What do you want your children, your people to know? What do you want them to hear? And I'd started praying about it. I had to apologize to my wife immediately and tell her, honey, if I seem kind of distant, if I seem a little far off, it's because my mind is, you know, kind of continually asking God, Lord, I don't want to go in there and preach, you know, my desire and my will and my mind. We want to hear from heaven. I mean, that's what I'd like. And so then I started thinking about what preacher had told me. He said a long time ago, he said, don't try to fix the church. Young preacher boy, don't come in here and try to fix the church, thinking that you're going to get up there from the pulpit and you're going to, you know, try to take care of all the problems from up there. You know, I want you to preach what the Lord lays on your heart, but get up there, preach, and get down. I said, amen. I asked one of the elders there, I said, what do I do? What do I do? And he said, well, brother, one time I was asked to preach, and another fellow was asked to preach. So I got up there and I preached. And he said, and the other fella got up there and read a verse or two, prayed and sat down. And he said, that fella wasn't asked to come back and preach. He said, I was. And I was like, oh, okay. So I took that and said, all right. But I prayed, Lord, what do you want me to do? I really stayed up late I really never felt like I actually got to sleep. Because I was just, my mind just continually was like, what? Lord, what? I asked Miss Eddington, because she hadn't been in church in quite some time, and when she sent me a text, and she does this quite often, she sends me a text Sunday morning, lets me know she's not able to come, and she's praying for us, and she wants me to tell y'all that she loves you and cares about you, you know, just praising God and thanking him. But this morning she said, if y'all happen to be by this way, I'll be going. I was like, amen. Praise God. That's awesome. And so then she came, and I knew if I did this, that she'd probably do this very thing. And I said, just before we were about to get on the bus, I leaned over to her ear and I said, pray for me. I'm preaching. I don't know what I'm going to preach. And she said, then I'm going to stay here. Whoa. So you're going to stay to hear what I don't know what I'm going to say. She said, you just get down on your knees and pray. And I will be praying for you. I said, all right. I don't know who was, I think Brother Ruiz might have been the last one out of the church. You know, usually when we come back from the bus, you know, he comes in, I come in, and then we all head out, and she stayed. I asked her, is there anything I can get for you? Mrs. Cools had come and was like, you know, I she was going to be heading out. And she said, no, I'll be here. I won't be alone. I was like, amen. Well, it kind of took a bit of a toll, I'm sure. And now wasn't able to be here. But this passage here is what was laid on my heart. And in verse 16, one of the things that it says there is it says, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that just really stuck out with me. And I started to think about my brothers and sisters in Christ. I started to think about my church and you folks. And I started to think about how there are many of our loved ones and that are going through trial and tribulation. I mean, when it talks about affliction, it doesn't necessarily mean a sickness, because it then goes and tells us, you know, are any among you sick? You know, so this affliction, it's some trials, it's some tribulations, some hard times, some things you're struggling with maybe, some testings. And I started to think about folks that are going through some things. And, you know, and I don't act like I know everything that's going on in here. I really don't. I mean, sometimes when I hear something, you know, it's kind of like, whoa, it levels me. Now, I don't mean like gossip and stuff like that. You want to do that, keep it to yourself. I don't care. You know what I mean? And don't pull one of those, you know, hey, brother, let's pray about so-and-so is going through such and such. No, I don't. Come on, seriously? But anyways, and so I started thinking about folks that are sick, that are really, really sick. I mean, that are going through some really, standing on the brink sometimes, you know. Some sicknesses, some people just, that's a death penalty. I mean, that's a death sentence. That's probably, you know, that's scary. And I started thinking about folks like that, and I started thinking about my loved ones, and I started thinking, well, I do love these people, though, and these families, and this church. And then I started thinking, what if it was my wife? Well, I know I'd be praying. I mean, if it was my son or my child. I mean, you remember David? When the child was born, I mean, he began to pray and fast. He wouldn't eat. And people began to worry about him. And what did he say? Well, you know what? This is afterwards. After the child dies, he gets cleaned up and he goes in. And they're like, whoa, wait a second, the child's dead. And he goes, well, I mean, I was praying and fasting because maybe the Lord would have changed his mind, you know, during that time. But now that the child's gone, I'll see him again. But then I started to think about, you know what? Have I really, like, wanted to carry the burden that you carry? Some of y'all have already gone through it. I mean, there are loved ones that are gone, that have gone on to be with the Lord. They're there now. And I thought, you know what? During that time, when I prayed, was it like my family, my loved one, near and dear to me? Was it my mother? Was that my father? Was that my prayer? Was I that burdened? And I've got to confess to you, I am at fault. Many have gone through not just an affliction and trial yourself, but your families have come under attack. And guess what? I can tell you that physically, you wouldn't be able to keep me off of you if you were trying to hurt my children, my wife. But what kind of prayer life am I having during the time that the accuser, that the devourer, that roaring lion, that those wolves, are coming down into a valley, and that little lamb is just feeding on some clover? What kind of prayer life do I have as it's just, what kind of fight do I have in me? Seeing it's not my little one. It's not my. Born in my home, carried by my wife, fed by mine own hands. How burdened am I about it? I'm at fault. I'm at fault. Now that I've gotten over that part, the Bible says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. You know what, people? One of the things that really burdens my heart is when I'm praying for something to come to pass, when I'm praying for somebody, when I really want to get a hold of God, that, you know what, for some reason it never fails. For some reason, I have a short temper with my wife. I have no idea why. And I always say to myself, if I want to be heard, if I don't want my prayers hindered, I'm supposed to have a right relationship with her. Why do I end up feeling like I have the shortest temper during that time? Why? So that my prayers might be hindered. Because guess what? That old accuser wants to say, how are you going to answer him? Look at that. He can't have patience with his wife? It says that we're not supposed to be bitter against him, that he's supposed to love him, but look at that. Come on, you call that love? Really? And I know he's accusing me. I know I'm being accused. I know he's laughing and mocking. And then I feel like, wow, I spent all that time pleading with the Lord, and then I come home and I forget to walk circumspectly, redeeming the time, knowing that the days are evil, knowing that there are folks like you that need answers. You need an answer to prayer. And how am I helping you? You know what? I like that picture that we're given there. It says, grudge not one against another, brethren, lest ye be condemned. Behold, the judge standeth before the door. I got a picture of children playing in the bedroom, hanging out, enjoying themselves, and all of a sudden, a fight breaks out. And then, they're going at it. They're yelling at each other, and they're throwing things, and they're all mad. And then they don't even realize Dad's standing at the door just watching this. Hearing it. He's looking at it. He's judging it, saying, look at these children. Unfortunately, that happens sometimes in our homes. But see, it's not, me standing at the door watching my kids. It's God standing there at the door watching me. Going, yeah. Quit playing around like this. Get serious. Get real. Because he's standing there watching. Then we're given some Bible examples, and I thank God for that, because that's what I usually glean glean from. I go back and I try to say, Lord, I've got a decision. I've got something I've got to face, and I've got something that I've got to deal with. And Lord, please, I need a Bible example. I need either somebody that did it wrong so I can learn not to do it that way, or I need somebody that did it right and I can try to follow that. Well, guess what? You know what? I've got this big, strong, you know, big fella that I really, you know, can associate myself a lot with him. Samson. Truth is, you know what? I really don't think he was some big, muscular, bulgy, you know, big guy. I think he probably looked like an average man. Because the truth is, they did not know where his great strength lieth. I mean, if they saw the guy walking around, you know, thighs that rub together and can't turn his head because his, you know, traps are so huge and he's just no neck, they would go, he works out. But that, I don't think that was the case. The Spirit of the Lord would move upon him and he would do great feats. But man, he could just mess up. You know, he could just continuously. I mean, and then they shaved his head. Lost all of his strength. Took out his eyes. Lord, let my hair grow back. No, I'm just kidding. No, it ain't going to come back. Okay, that's all that is. Okay. Matter of fact, some of y'all need to confess your fault to me. All right? I know you've been behind me going, go up thou bald man. No, I'm just kidding. No, the only bears I know are Smokey and Winnie the Pooh, so it's not going to be, you're in no danger whatsoever. All right? But I acquaint myself with Samson. I'm like, man, you know what? He is one great example of what not to do. I mean, the truth is, I tell our teenagers many times, I say, you know what? Listen to me. Brother Sells, amen. That's a great example. Thank you. Follow that. Brother Smith, amen. Thank you. Follow that one right there. I'm the Samson of the bunch. I'm the one that, guess what? I messed up. Learn from it. You know, I did this wrong. Learn from it. Yes, I know God still used Samson. And yes, God still uses me, you know. But guess what? I messed up. Don't do that. You'll lose all your hair. No. But you know, we're supposed to glean from the Bible examples that were said, take my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord, for an example of suffering, affliction, and patience. If you're going through something, listen, get into God's word. Think about one of those prophets. Think about a Jeremiah. Think of it. It immediately brings, it tells us next, behold, we count them happy which endured. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. I mean, Psalm 136, the entire chapter, each verse ends with, his mercy endureth forever. He is very merciful. He is a merciful God. And guess what? When you're going through trial and affliction, glean from those prophets, those that have endured. Because we count them as happy, which endured. We think of them like, amen, that Jeremiah. Whoo, in the dungeon. I mean, come on, look how long they left in there. And he was just preaching what the Lord said to preach. Job, I mean, man, can you imagine that? Everybody, all of his children, not just like some of his children, all of his kids, gone. Wow. And then, the second time, his wife then came at him. Just curse God and die. Really? Seriously? What do you really? I mean, come on. Man, his helpmeet, the one that's supposed to be right there. That's gotta hurt. You say, oh no, I don't like to think about Job. No, that is way too much. But look at how the Lord ended up dealing with him at the end. Endure. Get through it. In verse 13, it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Listen, if you're going through some trials and tribulation and you're not calling out to God and asking him for help, Well, hello. I mean, you're told to pray. You know, I mean, Jesus did tell Peter, I've prayed for you. But come on. He then came and said, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? I mean, could you not pray? You need to be praying. You need to be praying. It's time. Finally, he just came and says, it's time. Here it comes. I mean, he just... If you're going through some things, pray. Plead with God. Sometimes, yes, you need to share your burden with a brother or a sister. And I thank God for the prayer chain. And the truth is, to me, it was a woman thing. It was a woman thing. The prayer chain, that was a woman thing. Until actually, I don't even remember when it was, but somebody finally sent me. I think I saw my wife. She got something on the prayer chain. She got a call, and I was like, babe, let's pray about this. Amen, let's pray. We need to pray about this. And we did. And then, next thing you know, I ended up, you know, getting notified of these things. And believe me, I pray about it. When I get them, okay, Lord, this person's going through this. This person needs this. I mean, please. I don't sit there and go, okay, I'll get to that later. No. Mm-mm. I immediately pray about that. Because, guess what? I know how many of you are, too. You'll forget about it. And then you get to hear either good news or bad news. And when it's bad news, you're like, oh, woe is me. I did not pray about that. Now, if it had been you or your family member or your loved one, how earnest would your prayers have been? How serious would you have gotten about it? How many meals might you have missed because you couldn't take in anything because you were just like, I have no desire whatsoever to have any pleasure in food or anything. I'm broken about this. I want to hear from heaven. I mean, is any afflicted among you? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. I like that. You know what, some of y'all got a song in your heart, and I'm so thankful for it. I really am. Some of y'all, when I hear y'all singing about something, you know, I'm easily affected. I really am. I'm easily affected. I went and hung out with Brother Mario and Brother Nielsen for a little while, and as you can see, I'm easily affected. You know what I mean? I'm just kidding. It wasn't because of them. You can talk to my wife. I've been wanting it for a long time to just go ahead and clean it up. You know, we need to save some money on shipping. But anyways, but I really am. I'm easily affected. You start humming a tune, singing a song, guess what? It won't be long till I'll be doing it too. The same one. And then I'll be at a gas station pumping gas. I won't even be there that long. And all of a sudden, I'll get in the vehicle and I'll start humming this tune and I'm going, oh, where did I get that? Where'd that one come from? Oh, yeah, okay, that's where that was. Oh, okay, Lord, please put some good stuff in there. Renew my mind. Help me get some of the, you know, the psalms and hymns, you know, those are what I need. One fella at work, he'll come in and he thinks it's a joke, a game, it's funny. He'll start singing some song. The last one he did was, my baloney has a first name, it's, you know, and he just went off on that. You know what I was singing in the van when I was driving to my first job? My baloney has a first name, it's O-S-E-A-R. My whoa! And he's like, I polluted you. That's what he calls it. I polluted you. You know. Well, guess what? If you're married, you won't be polluting me. Because there are some of us that have got a heavy heart at the time. And you know what? We need you to be singing songs and hymns. We need you to be showing forth that Mary. You know what I mean? Because if everybody's mully grubbing, oh man, we're in a bad state. If everybody's like, you know, then guess what? You know what Brother P. Joe's going to be doing? You know, so please start humming and singing, you know, whistling. And, you know, I've only got one whistle and y'all don't want to hear it. It's that big one that calls Henry, you know. But please share that portion. But then it goes into this. It says, is any sick among you? Is any sick among you? We've got some folks that are sick. Now I know at some point somebody may come up to me and say, Brother Peugeot, you know that sometimes it says we're in here and heaven is through manifold temptation. You know, you rejoice for now for a season, but you know, you're in this heaviness. And I do understand that sometimes some sickness comes because the Lord wants to allow you to come forth as gold. Your faith is precious, and he wants to get you through this trial because it's going to make you stronger. I do understand that. So you don't have to come to me later and say, some sicknesses are because of, you know, God's just, he's not judging you for sin or nothing like that. And some, he doesn't, I understand he doesn't heal some because he's, you know, there's a reason for it. I understand. You don't have to come and try to convince me of this thing. I understand. Okay? If you'd like to come and try anyways, I'll stand there and I'll nod my head. I'll say thank you. But you know what it says? Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now get this. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now you know what? We go and we tell a person, we say, you know, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, shall. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. We've got faith in that. I got saved off of that. I mean, I said, you know what? The promises of God are, if I call upon the name of the Lord, I shall be, not maybe, might be, could be, would be, shall be saved. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. I don't get it. I don't get it. Now, don't all of a sudden say, Brother Peugeot, okay, did you know you just now started this big healing, you know, thing? Like, no, listen to me. I'm not all of a sudden some healing session or nothing like that. I'm not going to come and, no. But if we believe the Bible over there in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, why can't we believe this James? Why can't we say, Lord, this is your word. This is what you say. Now, many will say, well, hey, you know what? I've got a sick loved one. Can you please come over here and... If I read it correctly, it says, is any sick among you? Let him call. Let him call. Let that person. Let them. Now, I can't convince them, look, if you do this, it's going to work. It's this magic, you know, it's this whole method thing. It's all, you'll have God just at his word. It's not for me to convince them. They've got to have faith in the word of God and do what it says. And it's easier said than done because, I mean, we'd also be able to remove mountains if we had the faith of the grain of a mustard seed. But listen here. It says, confess, after that it says, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, you say, well, there it is right there. None of us are righteous. None of us are righteous. Get right with God, you know. It tells us to confess your faults. If you've got some faults, if you've got some things that are going, you know, get it right. Get right with the Lord, you know. Get right with God. And then guess what? What does he say? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, in his sight, you've got that imputed righteousness, don't you? And he says, all right, they're right with me. That's my child's right with me. And then we're supposed to be praying for one another. And then it actually gives us a Bible example. Elijah. Now, wow, that's some big boots. Those are some big shoes to fill. Now, if you go back and you read in Kings, you'll see it says this. Here it gives us the thing. It says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not. I mean, imagine that. And it rained not. Now, if you go back and you want to read the entire story, it's only this big. He just says, there won't be any dew or any rain. I mean, it was very, very small. It wasn't a big, you know, okay, here we go. I need some lights over here. I need a big screen over here. And I need we need a bigger sound system. Please turn me up. No. That's not what. He went and showed himself to Ahab and told him, it's not going to rain. And it didn't rain. It didn't rain for 3 years and 6 months. That's a long time. I mean, that is a long, long time, no rain. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I know I've got to get my prayer life right. You know, it's easy to run around and do. But you know what people don't see? Is when I'm not running around and I be still and get with my Lord. You can't pat me on the back for that. You can't get some reward that, you know, brought up on the pulpit, on the platform, said, oh, look at this prayer warrior. I'm thankful Mrs. Eddington prayed for me. And there are those of you in here, I know you prayed for me. Without a doubt. And what I need to change, what I need to do, is actually, I mean, I say this is my family, but I need to pray like it is. Like they're my kids. Like it's my wife. Well, I can't say that. I'm sorry, ma'am. I was about to say, like, it's my husband. But Mrs. Vaughn knows what I'm talking about. That's what I think we ought to be doing. That preacher of ours, man, he is under attack. I mean, yes, he's getting old. But we really need to be praying for him. Brother Locke is falling apart. And we've had him longer than we've had our buses. I'm thankful for James and Al and whoever else works on those buses. Grandma Linda going and wiping down seats and things like that. We need to have people that will be doing that for Brother Block and pleading, not like, don't go over there and start cleaning him up and stuff like that. I mean, praying for him. You know, it breaks my heart when I think that the man of God is out there, you know, facing the foe in the battle, on the battle line, charging hell with a squirt gun, just, Lord, I will do what you want me to do, whatever thou will. Family is being attacked from the rear. They're being flanked. I'm thankful for our deacons. I'm thankful for you folks that just labor and continue to work. I just pray that my prayer life about y'all and about them, your loved ones, will really be my loved ones Heavenly Father, I want to thank you so much for your goodness, grace, and your mercy, Lord. Lord, these are your people. These are your children, Lord. I don't take this lightly, Father. I thank you for allowing